Father, we surrender this morning. We thank you for your presence. We thank you that you are faithful. You speak to us. Father, what a privilege it is to hear your voice. There's nothing like it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. Thank you to the worship team. I see some of the members had to run with their kids. Yes, I want to this morning continue on something that that we've spoken about 2 weeks ago. Last weekend I was in Utrecht, and it was an amazing time of just spending time with the other church in the Northern Hemisphere of Shofar, and what a privilege it was just to hear the hearts and the just what God is doing in Utrecht. So they had a family camp, and we had some amazing time in the presence of God in Bladen. We'll do it afterwards, Chrissy. I know I can see it on your face. You are very worried that we're not going to do the formalities. No, we will get there. Before we get to sending the missions team and sending a precious couple that we really love this morning, I want to first complete a word that that God has given us, and I believe we need to finalize a few things first before we can go on. And I want you to turn to Luke chapter 11, verse 5 to 13. And I want to just ask you, please, guys, write down this morning. I want you to go and actually read these scriptures after today. God is speaking to us clearly. He's confirming so many things, and we need to spend time in His Word and spend time in the things that He's saying to us. So please write these scriptures down on Wednesday. Please, in the small groups, make sure to actually action the things that we'll be speaking on this morning. As a small group, get into God's presence and start to pray, because that's what I'm going to talk about, is the praying house number two. Okay, so let's get into it. Luke chapter 11, verse 5 to 13. And he said to them, "Which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me three loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey and have nothing to set before him.' And he will answer from within, 'Do not bother me. The door is not shut, is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is a friend, yet because of his impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. And I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives." So why are we not always receiving? And we're going to talk about a few principles this morning. And the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. What father among you, if his sons ask for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he ask for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" So, I want to quickly talk about a few things, and then we're going to get very practical about how do we spend time with God. And, in the beginning of the year, God spoke to me so clearly. He said, "Stop praying faithless prayers." Okay? Stop praying faithless prayers. I was quite, challenged by God, sitting in His presence and saying, "God, but there's so many things that we've trusted You for, and there's so many things that we are trusting You for, we don't see the immediate results. And I need to press in and to hear what is Your heart on this." And it was very clear. God spoke to me and He said, "Listen, do you have an expectation for Me to actually fulfill the things that you're praying for? Because clearly not." And again, I've seen your faces. It's the pastor that's the sinner in this house, that's praying prayers and not following it up and trusting God for breakthrough. But clearly, not everything that I pray come to fruition. So I've got to wrestle with God now. And that's the second thing that God said to me. Are you wrestling with me if things are not happening as you are praying, so that you can get to the answers, that you can get to my will? Because anyone and everyone that abides in me... Okay. Do some of you know scripture in this house? If you abide in me... Oh, it shall be done unto you. Okay, so clearly we need to do some self-examination and really push into the presence of God. Because one thing that I do know is God is saying to me, you are not asking. You are not asking the right things as well. And I'm challenged by that because I know that Jesus said, you who are heavy laden, come to me and I will give you rest. Okay, so again, this is the pastor that's burdened in the church and the rest of the congregation is light-weighted. Okay, you guys are not having sleepless nights over anything. It's just going good. Hey, I can see it on your faces. Things are just happy and we have a joyful church. Is it not so? So my challenge to you this morning is to say to you, this heavy-laden pastor wants to come to Jesus, and he wants to receive the living waters. And I want to wish that the rest of us as a congregation will get into that space. That we will come to the one that can give the waters, the one that will open the doorway. Because prayer opens the doorway for God to manifest miracles, healings, deliverance, restoration, signs and wonders. And we are not praying enough. And we are certainly not trusting God to abide in Him, because He says, I will give you what you've asked, and I will also fulfill the joy and make it complete within your lives. And this thing is really making a noise this morning. I hope I'm getting it right now. Is that better? God's release of His Holy Spirit is inseparable connected to us asking for it. Can I just read it again so that it really sinks in? I'm so blessed by those who brought words this morning. Thank you. It's really, Johan, you guys, Ed, Malisha, it's such a blessing to hear that you are obedient and trusting God to speak to us as a congregation. Because God's release of His Holy Spirit is inseparably connected to us asking for it. And I want the presence of God. I want to persevere and keep on going. And I don't want to stop until God speaks to me. And so must be the heart's desire of this church. Now, Genesis 32, verse 26 says, then he said, let me go, for the day has broken. This is now the angel that fought with Jacob. And the angel said, let me go. We've been fighting all night. But Jacob said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. Do you have the desire to see breakthrough so much in your life, to see God's will being established so much in your life that you will not let God go until you get the answer? That is my question to you this morning. Do you spend enough time with God that you... like we said the previous time, not stop at the sixth round around Jericho, but the seventh round and the breakthrough until you hear the answers from God. Because the answers from God and to abide in Him and to hear His voice only happens to those who want it the most. Can I say it again? The answers and the heart of God in abiding in Him only happens to those who want it the most. If you're willing to knock, I want to get back to Luke 11. It says here, and I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. Do you want to knock? Do you want to push in so that God can reveal Himself to you? And I'm going to challenge you this morning, and you know I like to challenge. In the beginning of the year, so we started with this theme. We said, listen, we're going to battle for God. We're going to see breakthroughs, and I can see it in a lot of you. I can really see, Ruth, what a blessing. We've prayed for that job for, for years. You made us pray and persevere, and thanks for keeping us on our knees. And so I can tell so many stories. I mean, there's so many of you in this church that has been on your knees for so long, and God has come through for you. And I can see the glimpses of just the trickles of God coming through for us as we pray, as we press into it, as we trust Him for it. But this is just the beginning. There's some more stuff that God wants to do in our lives, and if we're going to trust Him to move into that space of abiding in Him, we're going to see awesome things happening. But guess what? The church so many times stopped before it sees the breakthrough. And I want to trust this morning that at least God will bring us to a place where we can hang on to Him and say, God, we will not move, we will not go until You bless us. Until You come through for us. Listen to this one, Luke 18, 1-8. And He told them a parable of the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. Okay, it's very clear what Jesus wants to address in this part of Scripture. Luke 18, verse 1. And He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to Him and saying, give me justice against my adversary. For a while He refused, but afterwards He said to Himself, though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because, listen to this, because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice, so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming, so that she will stop bothering me. Listen, this is a picture that Jesus is laying before His disciples, and this is not the first time. Remember, the same picture was shown in chapter 11, verse 5. Guys, and I just want to say, in chapter 11, verse 5, the first five verses was actually about what? Let me see if you know your Bible. Of chapter 11. Oh, Joseph, you're blessing. I love you. The Lord's Prayer. Jesus was saying, disciples, come and sit down. Let me teach you how to pray. And then after this, He says, but let's just get the heart right. And so in verse 5, he then explains, listen, when you pray, don't stop praying after the first time. Keep on knocking, pushing, so that you can see the answer. And here, in chapter 18, He's speaking to them again. And He says to them, listen, this widow keeps on going until she gets the breakthrough. Are you with me? And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God give justice to His elect, who cry to Him day and night? Will He delay long over them? I tell you, He will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will He find, listen to this, faith on earth? So is faith once off? Faith is persisting in trusting God and having faith in God and trusting Him until you see the breakthrough. Now I want to get back to the challenge again. So in the beginning of the year, we had this conversation and we had some cards. The one card was the mountains that I'm trusting God for. The other one was the people that I'm trusting God for. Remember that? Okay. Woo! Congregation, are you with me this morning? I gave you some cards and we said, listen, we're going to pray through these things. We're going to trust God to actually speak to us concerning these things. Not that we need breakthroughs the way that we want it to be, but to hear God's voice on it and to have His counsel, the diamond, the wisdom, the godly wisdom that we need from God concerning these things, so that we can learn to trust Him for the burdens that's in our lives and the obstacles and the things that is on His heart, not just the things that's bothering you, but the things that's bothering Him concerning that the atmosphere that we are in. And so, power by which the church manifests the kingdom of God on earth comes through. Are you awake this morning? Through prayer. Jeremiah 33 verse 3. Call to me and I will answer you and will tell you great and hidden. Listen to this. And I will tell you great and hidden things that you have not known. Listen to Christ praying. Christ had a regular withdrawal from the crowds so that he could hear the voice of the Father. Luke 5:16. But he would withdraw to desolate places and... Okay, I need your participation this morning. Pray. Jesus had a need to, in the midst of the crowds, in the midst of a very exciting life of selflessness, to have one thing that he had very strong boundaries on. Listen, I will bow down to the children. I will stop you when you want to go and buy food or send the people to go and buy food in the city. I will give all of my time, day and night, to you. But there's one thing that I don't compromise on. If I want to be alone with the Father, I want to be alone. I'm going to separate myself so that I can hear the instructions from the Father, because I only do what the Father says I must do. My question to you this morning is not one of condemnation, because I'm challenging myself and I can see the fruit in my life as I start to pray, press in and trust God for answers. My question to you is, are you living the kind of life where you are separating yourself to God and His instructions and to draw from Him so that you can actually be strong for this busy life? This busy life will make you sink if you are not preparing yourself to be separate. If you don't spend time with God, how will you be able to, in this busy lifestyle, strong enough to overcome the evil one? We need to spend more time with Him. Christ, we're praying. Listen to this, Hebrews 5:7. In the days of His flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to Him who was able, God the Father being able, to save Him from death, and He was heard because of His reverence. So there's the story of Wesley having that meeting with the Queen, and then the meeting was, I think, at 12, and at 12 was gone, and it came to about 1, and he said, listen, I'm leaving now, not because I don't have reverence for the Queen, but I've got more reverence for the King of all Kings, and my time with Him is more important than anything in this world. And I just love that picture, Daniel, spending his time with God, because that is his isolation with God, where he can, you know, just allow God to speak to him and to draw power for the times and the wisdom that he needed for a time in the government that he was busy in. And guys, I want to say to you, we need to pray more. Luke chapter 22, 44. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. And this was Jesus at his most dramatic point, and probably the one point that we saw Jesus really being fragile. And he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down at the ground. Hebrews 7:25. Consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Jesus loves interceding on behalf of us. He prays. He trusts him for breakthroughs. And so we know the picture of the New Testament church. Jesus birthed the church in prayer. If you read Acts chapter 2, throughout the whole of chapter 2, before the manifestation and the Holy Spirit came down on them, what were they doing? What were they doing before the Holy Spirit came to fall on the people and they started to speak in tongues? They were praying. The church was birthed in prayer. And then a few chapters later, here in chapter 4, I think, of Acts, it speaks of them being even whipped because they were following Christ. And guess what they did after being whipped? The Bible says they went back and joined a prayer meeting. The natural response of the first testament or the first church, the New Testament church, was whenever in trouble, okay, somewhere this morning, somebody's going to say pray. Thanks, Ian. I really need your participation this morning. Guys, I want this to drop in your spirit. The natural response for the New Testament church was, whenever we are in agony, whenever we are going through hardship, whenever things looks like we don't have the answer, what do? We pray. Thanks, Chrissy. We're getting there. Acts 4:31, and when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. And so the Bible actually so many times encourage us to gather, to band together, to train, to inspire one another, to stir one another to pray. As many as we can, we must remind people to pray. Isaiah 62 verse 1 to 2, for Zion's sake I will not keep silent. Okay, this is the prophet. And for Jerusalem's sake, I will not be quiet until the righteousness goes forth as brightness and as salvation as a burning torch. The nations shall see the righteousness and all the kings your glory, and you shall be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will give. This prophet was so aware of the fact that the only way that we're going to see the salvation to the cities and the breakthrough into the cities is if we start to pray. So this week I was so amazed again. There's this one church in Reading, in the UK. Reading in the UK, not the American version. The UK Reading Church, and a Baptist church there that in 2008 got this just amazing impartation of the Holy Spirit and overpowerment of the Holy Spirit. For 2 years they could not stop praying. The pastor said to us, "Listen, I don't know what happened, but the 1 week I was struggling to get to intercession myself because I didn't want to pray. And then the next week there was 35 people, and then from there just the whole church was there before a Sunday meeting praying." And that happened for 2 years. And it stopped, and he said in 2016 it started to happen again. And we realized that we missed something. We didn't share whatever we received to the rest of the body, and now we want to do it. We want to actually come to London in September, and we want to trust God that we will, as a city, pray together and trust God to turn this nation around. Because if London changes, this nation will change. We're going to join them. But you know what was evident about this outpouring of the Holy Spirit in this congregation? And they still experience it. They just see God doing miraculous things, and they just want to share it with the world. They're so sincere. They're praying. They're laying before God and they're trusting God to speak to them. And all that I'm saying this morning is, guys, if we want to see this nation being changed, we will have to start to pray. We will have to push into it and trust Him to speak to us. Chapter 62, verse 67. On your walls, O Jerusalem, I have set watchmen all day and all night. They shall never be silent. You who put the Lord in remembrance, take no rest and give Him no rest until He establish Jerusalem and make it praise on the earth. And so Isaiah chapter 56 verse 7 says, these I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of? Okay, some of you are picking up. House of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all people. And then the well-known scripture in Matthew 21:13. He said to them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you make it a den of robbers. Why did Jesus say this? Now, we know that those who were selling stuff around the temple was actually legitimately there. They were not there because merchandise was wrong. There was something wrong with the heart. Jesus was talking about the fact that offerings had to be made, okay? And you can't go and catch a dove, you know, in the city or run around and try to catch all kinds of animals. You bought them, and then you would bring those sacrifices to the temple so that you can...
Atonement,
okay, wonderful. So those practices was not wrong. There was money changers in and around the temple. Why? Because if you came from afar with foreign currency, you had to exchange that to pay the taxes for the temple according to the local currency. So they were not there wrongfully. They were there with the wrong attitude and heart. Because Jesus was saying to them, listen, I've got a problem with you guys being around here. Because there's something that you are busy presenting to the people that I don't like. There's something that you are bringing to the table that was never the intent of God for the temple. Because in and around the temple, we must get one thing straight. This is not your house. This is not my house. This is the house of the Father. And in the Father's house, there must be a certain atmosphere that prevails. There's a certain environment that the Father wants in and around His temple that must be seen as holy. And that is the one of prayer. Because the atmosphere in the Father's house must be prayer. Thanks, Ian. You are amazing. Everything we do must be saturated in prayer. Our family life. How much do you pray at home? Are you praying over everything and anything? And I'm convicted about this. Sometimes I'm very good at being focused at church, but do I pray through the things at home that's necessary? God is challenging me on that. Are you praying for your children enough so that they can see the breakthrough of God in their lives? And so my challenge to you this morning, your workplace, is it a house of prayer to the nations? Are you praying enough in and around your boss so that he can fulfill the promises of God? Woo! This is difficult stuff, guys, but I'm challenging you this morning because I'm challenging myself. Because in Revelation 5 verse 8, it speaks of the prayers of the saints. Listen to this. And when he had taken the scroll, the 40 living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense. Golden bowls full of incense to the Father, to God of the universe. The one that Eduard spoke about this morning. And so in front of this God of the universe, these creatures are keeping up these golden bowls of incense. And you know what that incense is? Which are the prayers of the saints. Hebrews 14:16. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Joel 2:15-18. Blow the trumpet in Zion, consecrate a fast, call solemn assembly, gather the people, consecrate the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children, even nursing infants. Let the bridegroom leave his room and the bride her chamber. Between the vestibule and the altar, let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep and say, spare your people, O Lord, and make not your heritage a reproach, a byword among the nations. Why should they say among the peoples, where is their God? Then the Lord became jealous for his land and had pity on his people. God has a desire to see this nation prosperous. He has a desire to see your family. You know what? For that widow, she knows the heartbeat of God. She knows that, you know what, I don't care what this judge thinks and, you know, what he wants to do and what his motivation in life is. I don't care. I know one thing. I want justice to be done. I want to see God's favor upon my life. And my challenge to you this morning is, do you want it bad enough? Do you want it bad enough for your family? Do you want to see your family serving God? Do you want to see them fulfilling the promises of God upon their lives? Do you want to see in the workplace God transforming that workplace so that his kingdom can come? Because if that is your desire, you know what? We many times think that God cannot do it. I want to say to you, Jesus knew that there was one that is able to even save him from death. And he turned to that one and he said, Father, let your will be done in my life. And I want to say to you this morning, my heart's desire is that we saturate ourselves in prayer. That we start to pray over any and everything, but not prayers of faithlessness. Prayers that actually has an expectation to see things change. And if it doesn't change, then clearly we're not on God's page. Let's get onto his page. Let's go and ask him. Let's go and say what Jesus is saying. Still, yet, let your will be done, Father. Because I can't live without you. And so I want to end off this morning before we pray for the seed that we're going to sow this morning. And I want to explain that to you just now. I want to give you some practical pointers on spending time with God. And, you know, I've just seen through the time that I've been in London that many of us don't actually know how to spend time with God. We are intentional and we want to do it. But I want to, this morning, just give you a few pointers that might be helpful for you to spend enough time in his presence. Okay, is that all right? 12 of them. So stand strong. I'm going to do it as quickly as I can. When you spend time with God, make a decision to dedicate this time to God alone. You know what happens to me many times when I spend time with God, and I know I'm the sinful pastor again, so please, I'm talking to holy people that gets this right, so you can come and teach me afterwards, is if I don't set time apart and say, listen, I'm going to now dedicate the next half an hour or the next hour to God, and I'm going to put my mobile device away, I'm going to forget about anything that comes my way now, and I'm going to dedicate that to God. It's very difficult to focus and to hear God's voice. Are you with me this morning? Amen. And with this, I don't say that God only speaks in quiet time. Okay? God speaks to us, and I'm going to get to that later on, throughout the day. But there is a time of consecration needed that we need to set time apart for God. Okay? And don't be condemned now, because I know what's happening in your mind now, but when do I find the time? Do I need to stand up earlier in the morning? Whatever, okay? Get dedicated time to God. Even if it's once a week, a thorough, well-spent time with God. Luckily, I need to prepare for sermons. That helps me a lot. Because I need to spend time with God and hearing his voice, hearing where he's directing us as a congregation. But there's some personal time that I need to push in with God that is necessary. And I want to encourage you to do that and to actually dedicate that time to God. Secondly, have a pen and paper close by to write distractions down. Because you're sitting there and then you get to remember about the invoice that you didn't pay. Okay, is it only the pastor experiencing this? Or you remember, today I must actually get to that person and I must not forget this. And that thing haunts you until that prayer meeting is over. Are you with me? You sit there and then the next moment that notification comes from your mobile device that you use for your Bible. Okay, let me just justify your cause here. And you remember, oh, I forgot to phone that guy yesterday. Have a paper and pen next to you for a to-do list. Write that thing down, because as soon as you put it down on paper, you will not forget it and you can get it out of your mind. Okay, this is very practical, but I can tell you it works for me, so maybe it works for you. So I've got always a list next to me of things that I know I will follow up after my prayer meeting. But now, it's time with God. Okay? And don't tell me it's not going to happen, because distractions is the best way that the enemy can take you away from God's presence. Write them down. Number three. Somewhere my numbering is not working out, hey? That dedication time. My wife is my teacher. Okay, let's try to get it right. Number three then is not number four, but it's number three. Worship God. Center your thoughts to God. There must be a point in your time with God that you make sure that your thoughts are centered upon Him. And whatever it takes to get yourself away from the distractions of the world and to focus on God and His glory. Prayer should be calling out to God, admitting that you are not able. Because this is the point in your prayer life where you need to admit, God, clearly things are not working out when I try to save myself. And now I'm spending time with you because you have the answers. You are glorious. You are amazing. And that's why we worship God. If you struggle to zoom in when worshiping, put on a worship CD. Okay, just sing, worship God. Okay, not all of us are very anointed like Melanie and Laura and these guys. Ed, Jen, you guys are also very anointed. You can sing your way into heaven. But the rest of us must do the CD thing, okay? We don't do CDs anymore, eh? Laura, we do the downloads, okay? The playlists, okay. But there's ads on those things. Okay, iTunes. The most terrible ads that comes in between those YouTube stuff, eh? Get worship music, guys. Spend time in the presence of God. Get yourself focused. Number four, recap on previous prayer moments with God. And the reason for that is we need to give God thanks for breakthroughs that He's given us. Okay, so just go back to your prayer journal the previous time that you spent time with God and just say, God, thank you for what you've done. Thank you for the breakthrough here. Thank you that you've given me wisdom and it actually was amazing. Or then to pray further into. If there was not answers, if there was not breakthroughs, to actually get back to those points and to pray until you see a breakthrough. Okay, guys? Let's get back to faith. You are amazing spiritual people, so faith is this amazing concept of... Faith only happens if you and I have the expectation to see God coming through, which means that we must actually record what we're expecting of Him so that we can get back to those and say, listen, but God did come through for me. Okay, so I'm nervous about this thing that we pray and we don't journal. I want to say to you, the best men of faith of all times were guys that had devotional time with God, which they recorded. Write those things down because you need to get back to them. Sometimes I just scroll back, you know, I'm not into spending time with God. Then I scroll back even months, even years back, and then I see things that God has said then and I realize, oh, I actually forgot that I prayed about this and God gave me the answer. And that brings hope in my life. I can see that prayer helps. So guys, journal things, but make sure to actually recap on those previous points. Then, where are we now? I'm so confused now. We are now at number five. Okay. Unburden your heart by writing things that bother you or puzzles you down. Okay, just if it's your child that is sick now, write down, God, I'm going to trust you for my child. If it's that boss that was nasty with you, just write those down, okay, in your prayer journal that you are busy praying for them. Because I can tell you that even is an unburdening that you can put on the table so that you can start to pray for those things. Then, number six, pray every mountain through until you hear God's response. It might be, and there's a few things, a question to you. I don't know about you, but most of the times God answers me with a question. I am complaining. I'm saying, God, I don't know why this person is so nasty with me. I don't know why I don't see the breakthrough. I don't know why I'm always struggling with this thing in my life. And then God asks me a question. Okay? So let me use an example. So I said to God, this last month, 21 days that I pray to you and I've asked you for financial breakthrough for the church and for myself. And God, I don't see everything that we've trusted. And then God says to me, but can we just get back to what I did come through for? That's a question. Can we just talk about the things that I did meet you at? And as soon as I start to then talk to myself about the things that has happened, I start to unburden myself. And I start to realize that God is good. God is on a journey. God is doing awesome stuff. God is bringing amazing breakthrough in my life. God is actually doing more awesome things that I've expected of Him. God answers by giving you a solution. Sometimes He says to you, but go and do this, or you know, look at it from this angle. Sometimes given instruction. He says, listen, go to that person, go to adjust this part of your life. And then also, sometimes there's silence. You don't hear God's voice. Woo! Christians, you never get silences. It's only the pastor again. There's times that I sit in front of God with the same issue and I bring it before God and there's silence. God is not answering me. And then I know that there's a reason to pray again. I will pray until I hear what's God's desire and heart for this thing. Write down for follow-up and confirmations. And then number seven. Be honest about your feelings. It's not just a goal-oriented exercise, but a relationship. You can tell God how you feel. I say to God, God, I'm frustrated with you. I know you are right. I know that you can't be wrong. I know that you will win after all. But can I just throw my toys out of the cart now? Can I just tell you how I feel? I'm just so angry with this person. I'm so angry with my circumstances. And that allows me to actually have a relationship with God. God is not this God that wants to set goals and you're going to now make a list and you're going to tick it off whenever you get breakthrough. Hey, woo! That's not how God works. When we spend time with Him, His desire is actually for you to know His heart, to get to know Him better. And the only way that we do that is to share emotions and life with one another. And so, where am I now? Number eight, don't say you can't hear His voice. The easiest way to hear His voice is to read His conversation with mankind. The Word. Read it, quote it, and proclaim it. If you don't hear God's voice, if that is what you're telling me, then I get nervous because you don't understand where He starts to speak. He starts to speak through His Word. Read His Word, believe it. Trust it, proclaim it, until you start to hear Him clearly. And then, number nine, don't limit God to your quiet time. He speaks under the shower, in the shopping line, car. Yes, in the shower as well, okay? Those wonderful moments when you sing, people's circumstances, in the line when you are busy doing shopping, God speaks to you. God says to you, listen, do you see that person? Start to pray for that person. Because I want to trust. I want to do something in their lives. Number 10. We're almost there. So there's only 11 points now. Eh? We've made it easy. What a blessing. Number 10. Doing prayers. Sometimes God tells you to say or do something to somebody, even unknown. Do it immediately. And Rudy from Canada should not be on that one, but is it on that one? Yes, it is. It's my example. I was so blessed the other day. Just Rudy from Canada, one of the guys that you know we connect with as a chauffeur family as well, with the camps that we had in the past. You know, he phoned, or not phoned me, he sent me a voice note just out of the blue, just saying, listen, I just believe that you know, there's some areas, this areas, and I don't want to expose my family now, but you know, these things in your family that you need to address, and that you know, I believe God is going to give you awesome breakthrough in. Just go and do this and this and this. You know, it was just so amazing because it was so spot on at that moment. I want to say to you, don't underestimate God's way of speaking through your life. It's that one word that you give a person in a shopping line that changes their lives forever. Thank you for the guys that shared this morning. I'm certain God is going to use those seeds to change and transform lives. Don't keep silent. Number 11, the last one. Have a fixed course list in the back of your journal that you pray every day for. Leaders, family, protection, provision. Hey guys, there's certain things that you must not forget to do. The protection of your family is one of them. You pray for the protection and the health of your family every day. I'm doing it every day of my life. Because I know that as a father, even though I've got the responsibility, I can actually not protect my family. Even though I try my best, I'm telling you, I cannot be there always with everyone and micromanage them. I need to release them in the hands of God and trust that He will protect them. There's certain things that only God can do in their lives. Your leaders, God gives us instruction. Pray for the leaders that's being set over you. So I've got in the back of my prayer journal always this fixed list of people that I pray for. And the leaders in this church, I pray for you, I cover you, and my wife as well. We pray for you constantly. We cover you because it's a great responsibility. And you know, the beautiful thing for me was when Jesus actually said, I'm praying for you, Peter, because I know that you're going to go through a great trial. But I'm interceding on your behalf so that you will have faith when the testing comes. You know what? Sometimes we just need people around us to pray for our faith because it's not strong enough. People around us that just says, listen, don't be stupid. Come on, God is faithful in your life. Just get focused again. People that can just say, listen, I've prayed for you all night and I just trust that you must really now not fall for the devil's schemes. You are at your most fragile point. I want to cover you. I'm going to pray for you. I want to say to you guys, have that fixed list and make sure that you always pray through those things. Even if it feels to you, it's mechanically, even if it feels to you, I'm doing it just because I must. There's power and pray. God listens to the prayer of His people. You know what? This morning we're going to end off in praying. We're going to trust God. There's two things that I want to trust God for. I was, you know, sad this week to think that we're going to send another couple away from this church. When are you guys going to South Africa?
The 30th.
The 30th of this month.
Payday.
Payday. What a blessing you've been to us. I know you couldn't always be here. It's far to drive Sundays. But you've been really a oma and opa, a grandma and granddad to this church. And even funky. Colored hair, Tersha, we honor you for being just bold. Johan, for always having such a good sense of humor. I love talking to Johan because when you're around him, there's always like a mischievous, look and... Johan, you're a blessing to us. And this week I said, God, why another couple that we must send? And all that God said to me, but it's not, it's not negative. Mm-hmm. This is seed that you're sending. And so I want to ask you guys to come and stand here on my right-hand side. We're going to pray this morning, okay? We know the power of prayer now, eh? Church, do we know?
Yeah.
And then I want the missions team that's going to Utrecht to come and stand on this side. And the reason why I'm doing it together this morning is that it's seed. It's seed that we are sending. And one thing that I do realize that we are getting wrong as a church, and I want to take full responsibility as a leader for it, is that we don't always understand the apostolic significance of sending people. Okay? Which means that... sending a team to Utrecht next weekend to go and serve there is good seed that we are sending, okay? These people are giving some of their finances, their time, their effort, and God will bless them for that. I know that. I've seen it in the years, okay? So they're more blessed than any of you. No, I'm joking. Next time you'll be going. No, I'm joking. But what I'm seeing here today is a prophetic act of saying, listen, this is seed that we are going to send. But you know what happens with seed? Apostle Paul is very clear about 2 Corinthians 9 all the way to 12. He speaks about the fact that there's a mandate, there's a sphere of influence that God entrusts unto us as a congregation, as a group of believers. And if we don't take that responsibility serious, we're missing God, okay? Which means that if you want to send seed, it's your responsibility to trust God for that seed to germinate, okay? These guys are willing to go, but the greatest job is done by us collectively, which means that you and I must pray for them. We must cover them in prayer. It's not just their faithfulness that's going to do the job. It's, after all, our collective prayer and trust and faith that's going to allow them to see breakthroughs and people getting saved in Utrecht next weekend, okay? And in South Africa,
yep.
From the payday. Amen. Shofar Hermanus. Yeah, they're going to be blessed by Andres and Lisa. What a blessing.
We're not leaving, we're just replacing.
Yes, yes. Yes, no. And but you know what? With that responsibility comes us praying for them, that they will slot in there, that they will be good fruit, seed that will germinate and bear much fruit. There's a responsibility on our behalf as well. So this morning I want you to stand with me, and we're going to just lift our hands and... just raise it toward the people here in front. This is apostolic thinking, okay? And I want to say to you, we're going to do it more and more, is we think beyond ourselves, and we say that seed changes and transforms people around us, okay? It's not even blessing us as much as it blesses the people around us. And whatever these guys are going to do this weekend, we're going to trust God that it's going to be powerful. And guess what? The responsibility on your behalf is the testimonies. Not because you are burdened by it. Not because you are burdened by it. Yeah. But because we are trusting with you that God would use this seed. Okay? We are going to pray for you, with you. Mel, what a blessing to go with two children. We honor you for that, and we know that God is going to do awesome stuff because of your obedience. Okay, and so I can go through the list. We've got a one-legged guy here. We've got. We've got a radical. yeah. Guys, so my desire. No, it's fine, my wife. My desire is for us to get it this morning is when we send them with an expectation, and I want you to think about it now. When you raise your hand, you're saying, I will be praying for them next week, and I will be praying for them for the rest of their lives. Okay? Are you with me? That's the kind of faith that we are exercising, yeah? To say, guys, we are standing in faith with you to go and fulfill the commission of Christ upon your lives. We want to hear about the testimonies of faithfulness. John, those injuries, we want to trust God for a full restoration. Yeah. Amen. Amen. We want to hear that testimony. Please send us a... Tricia, you are so funky. Yeah, you can actually do a little recording for us when that testimony comes. and the same with you guys. We want to hear those testimonies after the weekend. Because we stood in faith with you, okay, and I'm including myself, I'm going as well, but from the congregation side, they want to hear the stories, because they trusted with expectation on your behalf as well, okay, it's not just the responsibility upon your shoulders, it's the collective responsibility that God wants us to change the world out there. Amen. Let's raise our hands. Father God, we stand before you this morning, because we are your people. And we are made righteous through your Son, Jesus Christ. And therefore we can come boldly to your throne in grace. And Father, we can approach it so boldly because we know that you want to see the seed that is represented here this morning to fulfill your big mandate upon their lives. To see miracles, to see the gospel penetrate the hearts of men. To see, Father God, the brokenhearted being healed. Father God, to see supernatural things happening in and around their lives because they are yours. And whenever we spend time with you, you transform not just us, but the people around us. And this morning, in the name of Jesus, we ask you that you will go before them, that you will go and prepare the hearts of men and women, children, in the streets of Utrecht as we speak to them, share the gospel with them, that we will see fruit, not testimonies of hard ground, testimonies of breakthrough, and Father God, amazing things happening. And Father God, I pray that as we go in obedience, that your Spirit will lead us every step of the way. I pray, Father, for this beautiful couple. Yes, my wife, anoint them, please. Father God, as we send this beautiful couple, Johan and Tertia, Father God, they are really a special part of our hearts, Father God, and we struggle to send them. But Father, we know that our hearts are generous toward your kingdom, and Father, it's generous toward them. And Father God, we take the responsibility to keep on praying for them, to keep on having a contact with them, Father God. We're going to just ask even, Father, how it's going with them. And Father, we pray that they will be a great blessing in Hermanus Shofar, Father God, and not just in the church, but in the community that they will be serving. Father, may this be a time of blessing for them, where they will feel and experience, Father God, the years of faithfulness being rewarded. I pray that, Father God, they will have meaningful relationships, Father God, that they will be able to spend time with their family, Father God, and friends. And Father, that that they will have the opportunity to still raise many sons and daughters, Father, for your kingdom. Let many come and sit at their feet in Hermanus, Father. Let many, Father God, come and speak, Father God, to them with a desire to learn from them. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. If there's anyone with a a desire to come and pray as well, please come to the front. We're going to just do the last of the anointing. Thanks, Milani. Do you have a word, Chrissy?
Share from Psalm 91, just as a prayer over you both. And it says, "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, and He is my fortress, my God, in whom I trust." And then a little bit later on in verse 14, it says, "Because He loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue Him. I will protect Him, for He acknowledges my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer Him. I will be with Him in trouble. I will deliver Him, and I will honor Him. With long life, I will satisfy Him and show Him in my salvation." Mm-hmm. So I really just want to pray that as a blessing over you, as we bless you and release you as you go to Hermanus, that the Lord is your refuge as you cling on to Him as you go.
Amen.
I just saw that there was 12 baskets in front of you, and it is full. You do not have to fear. God is filling it, and you know every basket that I can see is just these different fruits for different seasons. You do not have to fear. You've done enough. God wants to bless you. Okay, He wants to bless you. You don't have to labor, because He's going to give it to you. You see, for everything that you have sacrificed over the last 4 years.
Yeah. I just want to confirm what Margot said. I just saw also that your cup is going to run over. Yeah. Yeah.
Amen.
Can I pray a prayer for the Utrecht?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, I'm going to try to, if you can just hold this, and I just want to pray a blessing. Just put it on my finger. I just want to pray a blessing over Achilles and Ian. And, yeah, Eduard and Laura and Melanie and Makaya.
Eka.
And Nolita and Chrissy. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for this team going out to the Netherlands, Lord God. I pray in Jesus' name that you will protect them, Father God, that they will have a safe journey, that they will come safe back, Father God, and that you will use them in your mighty power, Father God, that you will just, use them in any capacity, Lord God, in any of their talents that you gave them, Father God. I pray in the name of Jesus that they will have an awesome time in the Netherlands, not for themselves, Father God, but to your glory, Lord God. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that nothing will go wrong, that everything will just fall into place, Father God, because it's your purposes and it's your plan, Father God. I pray a special protection over Melanie and her children, Father God. No sickness and nothing, Father God, will stand in the way. And I pray over the whole team, Father God, that they will be protected by your, just by your grace. And thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are going before them. You are going in front of them, Father God. You are covering them, Lord God. Your Holy Spirit, go with them in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, God. Okay, guys, thank you so much. My last challenge before you go and sit down is, guys, that we must start to pray. Okay, we must really trust God to pray. And you know, in the 21 days of prayer and fasting that we did in the beginning of the year, I've realized that we need to change a little bit of our culture. Respond when you get answers. Because I know that you do. You come and tell me, on a Sunday or wherever we get together, then you say, "I've prayed and I've heard this from God." So yes, great. But I want you to constantly come and share what God is saying to you. The reason for that is you are encouraging, you are exhorting people that you don't even know that you are. Okay, when you come and share here in front, other people say, I've heard the same thing from God, so I must hear God's voice as well. Within your obedience, God can really make this a house of prayer. Okay, to all the nations. That's God's desire. So we're going to pray more about things, but I want to just trust that the culture among us will be feedback, okay? Because the answers are important to us. If it's not, then we will stop praying. We will only respond more if we know that something gets to be done when God speaks. So we can't change things and do whatever God wants us to do if we don't tell one another what God is saying. Amen. Right. Thank you so much, guys. Be blessed. There's some coffee and biscuits or whatever. Eat and be blessed. Enjoy. If you need prayer, please come to the front.